Blog Talk Radio.
Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, we're opening our program right now. It's all yours, Chuck.
Oh,
well,
I'm sorry.
Hey, listen, this is Kitchen Table Radio. We have a lot of fun here screwing up. So,
there's the music
now. Right now, we should be hearing this sound.
And turn it down. Breaking news from the EAL radio show desk. All those listeners who are enthusiasts of the Eastern Airlines group and have asked what news I see, there has been 3 sightings of the aircraft listed on the Facebook at Eastern at the New Generation. See more underneath sightings on our website. Linda?
Travel, Leader, Distribution, April 5th, 2017. Flight, taxi to the airport. What about getting from the airport to your hotel in the city center? An airport transfer bus could be your best option. Chances are, if you're an inbound or infrequent traveler, you'll wonder where to search and book this last leg. Imagine if that was taken care of through your travel retailer, removing all the uncertainty and stress, just as you would book a flight. See more, newsletter-Amadeus.
Breaking news. Era recently attended grand opening at the History Miami Museum at Miami International Airport at the Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame Aviation, a century of flight. Story of Aviation in Miami, held March 23rd, 2017, as shown on the front page of KIT. Read all about the Eastern exhibit. More exhibits to follow.
Breaking news. British Airways launches biometric boarding gates at Heathrow. British Airlines is transforming its customer airport experience by becoming the first UK airline to introduce automatic biometric technology throughout the airport with the launch of self-service boarding gates. See more at boarding gates, biometric gates. Hello, Eastern family. It's time for the radio voice of Eastern Airlines to bring you more Eastern talk, news, and history of the greatest airline to fly the skies, Eastern Airlines. Thanks for tuning in this 314th live radio broadcast. We're broadcasting from many areas around the country, listening in over 40 countries around the world. We're adding news items to the breaking news at the beginning of our show. Let us know your thoughts about this small change in the broadcast format. My name is Chuck Albright. I'm sitting in for Jim Hart tonight, and along with our other host, and we do have a new host. We've added this to our talent team. We'll introduce Linda Fuller in just a few moments. We hope you will share in the conversation tonight. After all, the show is for you, about you, and Eastern Airlines. Neil calls it Kitchen Table Radio. Just remember just how to sign into the show and call in. If you have comments or you want to join the host, Here's all you need to do. Go to www.eaalradioshow.com and look for the radio icon on the home page. Click on the arrow in the circle at 7 p.m. and you can listen on your computer. You can also tune in by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Captain Eddie. This is a site of our provider, Blog Talk Radio. Now, here's an easier way. Just call 213-816-1611 at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and you can listen right in on your phone. You can also join in the conversation by saying, "Hi, since you're already on the phone, we want to hear from you." Now, before we get this episode in the air with a new Eastern airplane, Neil, would you like to introduce our newest host?
Thanks, Chuck. Linda Fuller was on last week's radio show and was so impressive with her remarks that we asked her if she would like to join our little band of, we call them thespians. Linda began flying as an Eastern Airlines flight attendant in June of 1961. There she met Eston Fuller in the cockpit of an Eastern Electra in March of 1964. But 5 months later, Eston and Linda married, and Linda's career with Eastern ended, as marriage at that time meant mandatory retirement for flight attendants. Eston and Linda are parents to 4 grown children. They have 11 grandchildren. When the children were small, Linda qualified as a leader for La League International, an organization dedicated to helping moms. She attended and led meetings in the suburban areas around Atlanta. In January of 1975, Eston moved the family to a farm located west of Indianapolis, Indiana. And as the family had become more self-sufficient, Linda joined the local community theater group and participated in their productions. She also enjoyed working as an intern at a local radio station and delivering the early morning news and weather. In 1988, the family moved to Polk County, Florida, near Lakeland, and Linda worked as a substitute teacher in the Polk County school system. In later years, Linda decided to become a member of the Hadash. You correct me now, Linda, if I'm pronouncing these words wrong, which is an international international organization that's dedicated to the support of Hadassah hospitals in Israel. And after years of participation, she became a lifetime member, having her own personal identification number in association with the group. Linda's interests are too numerous to enumerate. People are always interesting, she says. Reading, writing, fashion, and the political scene, of course. My faith is especially important to me, Linda says. Linda, now, you add to that as you wish, and the microphone is yours, Linda.
Well, Neil, for 3.5 years when I was employed by Eastern, I was surrounded by people who greatly appreciated Eastern Airlines. And now, after all these years, I was just sitting here thinking that with the Eastern Airlines radio show, that is happening all over again. Thank you, Neil.
It's our pleasure to have you with us, Linda. And, of course, we're going to and we're going to be asking Eston if you can ask him to think of a few stories, because Eston does have a few stories he can tell, like kind of like Jim Holder, who always has a story to tell. But Eston's a book of knowledge about Eastern Airlines and airplanes. So we expect to have Eston with us too, Linda. So you tell him that.
Okay. He's smiling right now.
Okay, very good. Okay, now, let's see. I've got to start a jet engine here somehow. I've got to get one started, so I'm going to see if I can find it on my kitchen table radio board here, producer's board, and we get this airplane going here. And And we'll be set for the show, which we've got a wonderful show for you tonight. So let's see if we can get it all started and taking off here. The engine just started. For some reason,
they take a long time.
I know, a jet engine. And oh, I see. Here it is, right here. We're using a 1011 tonight for our flight down to Orlando. So it should sound a little bit like this right here. Maybe not that much noise. There, that's a better noise level. Okay, Captain Chuck, we've got the engine started. I'm going to pull the ground power.
Kennedy Tower, Eastern 314 Heavy, is ready for takeoff anytime.
Roger, Eastern 314 Heavy. Hey, what are you guys flying today?
It's Eastern New Whisperliner. It's Lockheed's L-1011. We took delivery of the first 50 L-1011s on July 11, 1972. It was a 316-passenger plane, three Rolls-Royce engines, RB211 engines, developing 42,000 pounds of thrust each. For all you gearheads, that's about 1 pound of thrust per horsepower at 375 miles an hour. Our max takeoff weight today is 430,000 pounds of metal coming off the ground. We're taking most of our passengers to the Magic Kingdom that just opened in Orlando.
Eastern 314 Heavy, you're cleared for takeoff. Runway 31 left. Wind is out of the northwest at 10 miles per hour. And thanks so much for the information.
Well, Roger, Kennedy, Eastern 314 Heavy. Confirm runway 31 left, and we are rolling.
Everybody, and take your family to a place where dreams are born. Walt Disney World on Eastern, the airline with more flights from more cities to Walt Disney World than any other airline.
A dream is a wish your heart makes.
There's only one official airline at Walt Disney World, and that's Eastern, the airline that's working harder for your dollar. Eastern, the wings of man.
As an Eastern employee, we really enjoyed those commercials that Eastern did. Very, very effective commercials. For 15 years, Eastern Airlines helped Orlando grow to what it is today, a beautiful city with a landscape of towering buildings and many theme parks. Believe it or not, the population in 1970, 2 years before Disney World opened, was approximately 12,000 people. Today, Orlando is approximately 300,000. Did Disney and Eastern have anything to do with this tremendous growth? You bet it did. Eastern employees know that it did. Tonight's show, we talk about Eastern's reign at the park there for 15 years as the official airlines of Walt Disney World. So, Chuck, let's get us started, okay?
When Walt Disney World opened in 1971, Eastern Airlines was the official airlines of Walt Disney World. Eastern Airlines sponsored the first attraction I ever experienced at Disney, If You Had Wings. In the days of ride tickets, this ride was free and didn't require a ticket. You can believe it or not, having a ticket at Disney World today, From 1971 to 1980, Walt Disney World utilized a ticket book system that Disneyland had been using for many years. Attractions were assigned a letter, A through E, based on the popularity value of the attraction. A few attractions required no admissions. Walt Disney Story, Circle Vision 360, Carousel of Progress, and If You Had Wings. If You Had Wings, it took you on a trip to experience some of the travel destinations in the Caribbean serviced by Eastern Airlines. It even included an infectious song. Neil, how about playing a short snippet of that popular song?
Well, I would if I could. I didn't put it in my playlist here. So, therefore, I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. We're going to talk about the lyrics, too. As we go through our association, Eastern's association with Disney. The ride, If You Had Wings, began with projections of animated silhouettes of seagulls and airplanes sweeping past on the walls, enhancing the feeling of motion and gently suggesting flight. Riders pass through a series of colorful theater-like sets with embedded small screens, looping rear-projected short film scenes while their cars swiveled on their bases to direct riders toward points of interest. In all, 38 16-millimeter projectors were used in the attraction. The scenes showcased various Eastern destinations and appealed to potential tourists with straw hat markets, fishermen, limbo dancers, steel drum bands, and much more. Many scenes had their own special sound effects. The omnipresent theme music featured a chorus of singers tunefully chanting, "If you had wings, if you had wings, if you had wings, had wings, had wings, had wings."
The following locations were represented: Mexico, Bermuda, Puerto Rico, the Bahamas, where a tropically attired traffic cop blew his whistle to direct a flock of flamingos to go in one direction, pedestrians and vehicles in another. Jamaica, where the ride's only 35-millimeter projector showed a pod of bathing suit-clad young people clambering up the rocks at Dunn River Falls. Trinidad, and New Orleans were shadows of blowing jasmine flickered on the wall, all of which Eastern Airlines offered as destinations at the time. There are a number of things that guests fondly remember. The first is its theme song, like the repetitiveness of It's a Small World. This repetitive yet simple song has now become one of Walt Disney World's most memorable pieces of music. And as Chuck just mentioned the lyrics, if you had wings, you could do many things. You could widen your world if you had wings. If you had wings, if you had wings, if you had wings, had wings, had wings.
Having viewed the sequence of sight sets, riders enter the speed room, an ellipsoid onto the interior of which were projected snippets of first-person movies of an airplane taking off, a train, water skis, motorcycles, airboats, and a few other scenes. The clips were projected on the walls by a 70-millimeter projector. The ovoid screen encompassed the viewer's peripheral vision. Furthermore, the vehicle reclined in the speed room, and a breeze was blown on riders. The wraparound images, in combination with the motion and reclining angle of the vehicle and a blast of air, arguably constituted an early attempt at virtual reality.
The speed room was followed by the mirror room. There were two more 70-millimeter projectors produced images of snow-covered mountains, appearing on large screens, and we were reflected in enormous floor-to-ceiling mirrors. The music became a wordless symphonic swell of harmonics. Riders descended after exiting the mirror room, and the voice of Orson Welles assured them, "Do you have wings? Can you do all these things? Can you widen your world? Eastern, the wings of man."
At the time of the ride's inception, the wings of man was the slogan of Eastern Airlines. In later years, this passage, spoken by someone other than Welles, perhaps Disney's vocal veteran Peter Remede, ended with a different slogan: "Eastern will be your wings." Riders disembarked into an area containing Eastern Airlines reservations agents. The agents stood readily and assist passengers with travel arrangements.
Large diorama. Go ahead.
Two on the right, one on the left. The loud Mexico, Jamaica, Trinidad seems to be visible. Riders on the Tomorrowland Transit Authority, then WeWay People Movers. After a trip through Mexico, including gliding by two and three-dimensional props, film projections of the Aztec pyramids. Archipelago cliff dwellers, divers, large stone dragon heads of Quetzalcoatl guests cruised by the modern Mexico. My favorite scene was the Caribbean section. It featured an ocean liner with a boarding ramp, passengers lining the deck, throwing streamers, while a steel drum band played. Below, there were smaller boats in the water as divers looked for treasure. To cap off the scene, was a tourist standing in front of a sports fishing shack holding his catch, a swordfish. Only this fish changed length as his wife took the picture.
I remembered that as the journey continued, guests encountered a Bohemian marching band playing a rendition of If You Had Wings, while various images of street traffic passed by. The theme was repeated throughout this section, but now the street traffic alternated with scurrying flamingos, while a Bahamian traffic cop in a white hat, white shorts, and knee socks kept trying to keep control of the traffic. Guests were then transported to Jamaica Dunn's River Falls, a lagoon in Trinidad, and then New Orleans' French Quarter during Mardi Gras. After the New Orleans scene came, the next memorable part of this attraction, the speed room. The speed room was one of those most exciting parts of the attraction. As passengers traveled down the middle of this huge bullet-shaped tunnel with various 70-millimeter projections of high-speed adventures are shown on the wall. Titling the Omnimover, backwards as large fans, gave the sensation of motion, enhanced the sensation of moving fast through a dune buggy across the desert, water skiing on a lake, or flying down a forest path on a speeding train. Once passengers left the speed room, they entered the final thrill of the ride, the mirror room. This room is exactly as it sounds, a box-shaped room covered with large floor-to-ceiling mirrors that had two 70-millimeter projectors reflecting images of snow-capped mountains and other relaxing scenes. These scenes were shot in an upward motion, given another type of forced perspective, that of being lifted.
As the riders exited the mirror room, Orson Welles' voice caressed the passengers with, "Do you have wings? You can do all these things. Can you widen your world? Eastern, the wings of man." According to Wikipedia, at the time of the ride's inception, the wings of man was a slogan of Eastern Airlines. In later years, this passage, spoken by someone other than Welles, perhaps Disney's vocal warhorse, Peter Ramaday, ended with less grandchalant. Eastern will be your wings. As guests disembarked their vehicles, there was a manned Eastern Airlines reservation desk ready to help guests make their reservations. Presumably, after being inspired by the attraction, probably fewer ever took the advantage of this service. Today, there is no official airline of Walt Disney World, but there are a couple of airlines that have some relationships. Eastern represented Orlando and Disney World like no other airline could, so we still feel the sound and the words of this song.
For the Magic Kingdom. Do you know the way?
Please, sir!
Do you know the way to the Magic Kingdom? Do you know the way to the Magic Kingdom?
Sure I do.
Well, can you fly?
You can fly to a magic kingdom that's right outside your hotel window. To Walt Disney World in Florida. On Eastern, the airline of Walt Disney World. The airline that believes dreams really can come true. The wings of man.
In 1987, Eastern withdrew its sponsorship and the attraction closed on June 1st of that year. Eastern itself will go out of business just 4 years later. Now, we want to give you a few facts you might not know about Disney. So, Dorothy, why don't you start us out?
No gum is sold in Disney parks. If you're a chore, better bring your own along. It's not a small world after all. Disney World encompasses over 50 square miles. Hidden Mickeys can be found everywhere. A hidden Mickey is the three-circle silhouette of the head and ears of Mickey Mouse disguised and subtly hidden in decor, rock formations, table settings, and designs of all sorts. Thousands of hidden Mickeys have been recorded and more included with each park update. Disney World has only closed three times since it first opened in 1971. Hurricane Floyd closed the park in 1999. The terrorist attacks of 9/11 in 2001 closed the park as well as a 2002 power failure. When the park closed in 9/11, it took less than 30 minutes to evacuate and close the parks. guests in Walt Disney World are never more than 30 steps away from a trash can.
There are no bathrooms located in the Magic Kingdom's Liberty Square, in keeping with the time period and that era. An Imagineer named George was killed during the building of Pirates of the Caribbean. It is said his ghost haunts the ride to this day. Workers say goodnight, George, before they shut down the ride each night as a superstition to prevent attraction breakdowns the next day. Epcot's American Pavilion is home of the American flag taken from the rubble of 9/11/2001. Underneath Disney World are miles of underground tunnels called Ulidors that house massive costume departments, cast members' break rooms, garbage chutes, and more. The 48 square miles of Florida swampland, now home to Walt Disney World, is officially purchased, or was officially purchased, by Mr. Disney for $5 million.
Disney World averaged 10,000 visitors per day when it first opened in 1971. Today, that number has swelled close to 50,000 visitors per day. The new Avatar section of Animal Kingdom is expected to open May 27, 2017, at a cost of more than $400 million. And for you people who would welcome a completely different kind of flying experience, you'll be able to soar as you ride on the back of a winged mountain banshee. Epcot Gardens grow over 30 tons of fruits and vegetables each year to help feed hungry park visitors. Disney Hollywood Studios was originally built as a working studio, not a theme park. The Mickey Mouse Club was filmed there with Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, Ryan Gosling, and Christina Aguilera. Adult admission to Disney World when it opened was $3.50.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Are you there, Chuck?
Disney, yeah. Chuck, are you there? We want some more
adult
stuff here.
I got it. Disney Transportation System is the largest bus system in Florida, with over 290 buses. Disney has grown over 500 oak trees from acorns from the Liberty Oak found in Liberty Square. Over 200 pairs of sunglasses are turned to lost and found each day in Disney World. The Disney Company bought 12,000 acres of Florida wetland located about 15 miles south of the park back in 1990. The idea was to maintain balance of nature and offset the environmental impact of the parks. More than 1.6 million turkey legs are consumed at the park every year. They are such a fan favorite that you can buy turkey leg hats, T-shirts, and other souvenirs.
The lake used for Fantasmic is only about 1 foot deep. Animal Kingdom's Expedition Everest and Hollywood Studios Tower of Terror stand 199 feet tall. This is because any structure 200 feet tall would require red flashing lights according to aviation rules. Epcot's Mission Space Attraction needs more computer space shuttle. The hydraulic thruster and cylinder used to bring the Yeti to life atop Expedition Everest uses more power than a 747 jet engine. At 5.7 million gallons, Epcot's Aquarium of the Seas is the second largest aquarium in the United States.
The fastest ride in Disney World is Test Track, which reaches speeds of 65 miles an hour. Walt Disney died of lung cancer in 1966. His last words were Kurt Russell, who at the time had just been signed to a 10-year contract for Disney Movies. Disney's first audio animatronics were the first introduced to the world in 1966 World's Fair in Flushing, New York. It's a small world and a great moment with Abraham Lincoln, which later evolved into today's Hall of Presidents. Mickey Mouse was the first cartoon character to receive a plaque on the Hollywood Legendary Walk of Fame. You'll never have to pay for water in Disney World. You just have to quick service restaurants in the park and ask for a cup.
One of the most popular Disney souvenirs of all time was the Mickey Mouse watch. It was first introduced in 1933 and sold for $2.95. Walt Disney himself was presented with the 25th million watch in 1957. Need to cool off at Hollywood Studios? Look for the Singing in the Rain umbrella in the streets of America. Stand on the pad in instant rain. More than 50 million Cokes are consumed each year at Disney parks. You won't find a Pepsi. Walt Disney World employs close to 60,000 cast members, making it one of the largest employers in the United States. Every year, over 3 million flowering plants are planted at Walt Disney World, while the horticultural staff maintains over 2 million shrubs, 13,000 roses, and over 200 topiaries.
Over 10 million hamburgers, 7 million hot dogs, and 9 million pounds of French fries are consumed by hungry Disney World guests every year. The Walt Disney World Costume Department is home to over 1.2 million pieces of clothing, making it the largest wardrobe department in the world. Each cast member has 3 costumes. It takes over 150 tractor-trailer loads of decorations to deck the halls for holiday celebrations. Wonder what Disney's electric bill is for all of this? It's zero. They have their own power plant. Disney World Resorts offer guests over 27,000 hotel rooms, and they are constantly adding to that number. Since 1971, the Walt Disney World monorail trains have logged enough miles to make 30 round trips to the moon. Eastern Airlines was the first official airlines of Walt Disney World.
I would like to recall those early days of flying into Orlando McCoy Air Force Base and ask if any others remember the early days of our Disney Association. And I know Eston Fuller remembers those days, but I remember coming in from the north, landing south, and we would cross over Executive Airport there and then come in and make our landing and turn around and head back north after we landed on the south runway. And we would pull up to a terminal that had no jetways, and the passengers were out in I believe it was a sheltered concourse that took them out to the gates, and there they boarded the airplane. And as we taxied out, I can remember in the Convair days that we could look over to the west of the airport and see strategic Air Force airplanes parked over there, because it was an Air Force base, and it was McCoy Air Force Base. And so you hear lots, I don't know whether it's being used much anymore, but McCoy was the official name back in the day that we flew when we first started to fly back in the 50s and 60s, well, earlier than that. But it's always was a joint feel, a commercial feel on one side and a military feel on the other side. And one other comment before I ask for comments of your thoughts about Disney and Eastern Airlines, the association there, is the fact that Disney offers college students a wonderful opportunity to apply for, and if they are accepted, about a 6-month internship there on the Disney World campus. And they assign one of the career opportunities that are offered. My granddaughter, 3 years ago now, I believe, she was a student, is still a student at University of South Alabama, USA, in Mobile, Alabama, and she first applied and was accepted. And her first job there at Disney was in one of the Frontier restaurant. I think it was Frontierland, the restaurant there. And so she worked there for about 6 months and then came back, of course, back to college and continued her college education. Some colleges give credit for that. And then this past year, or a year before, she went back and then did another one. And now she's graduating next month, May 6th, and we're very proud of her. And she has been hired by Disney in Orlando. And she is as thrilled as anyone could possibly be when they enter the Magic Kingdom as a child. She's still that child, and she still loves the Magic Kingdom, and now she has the opportunity to go full-time with Disney World. So I guess that's where she wants to stay the rest of her career. She is in accounting, and so she will be in payroll. And so that's the two experiences I like to share with our radio listening audience. Any other comments made about your thoughts about Disney when you first went the first time, what your thoughts were? I'll just open it up. All the microphones are open.
Hey, Neil, I was just thinking about something. We talked about the Disney World in Orlando tonight, and there were some pretty impressive numbers here. What are the numbers, and I wonder what the total numbers are worldwide for all the different parks that Disney has?
It's got to be millions.
Are you talking about all the theme parks that they have other than Orlando? Is that what you're asking, Don?
Yeah, in other words, they've got them in China. They got one out, you know, Disneyland. It was the first one out in L.A. You know, if they combined all of the figures for these parks, these got to be astronomical figures.
Yeah, about as many hamburgers that has ever been sold at McDonald's. That's the only comparison that I could compare it with.
That'd be a lot of hamburgers.
Chuck, when was your first? When did you first go to Orlando's Disney World, Chuck?
The week it opened.
Oh,
I was put my family there, and of course Eastern was the big thing because I just started working with Eastern in 71.
Wow.
And I got a pass because I'd finished my 6 months probation, and we all got on a pass ride thing. It was coach section, wasn't first class anything. But we all went to Disney World, and it was just awesome. And from then on, I would save my passes. That's why we did. And we went 10 straight years after that. Every year we went to Disney World. The only time that we went to Disney World and it wasn't that great is when you go Christmas. You don't go to Disney World on Christmas. It is so crowded, you wouldn't believe two young children, girls. They just did not like that at all. But all the other times that we went really great. And just another footnote. Neil, I was stationed in Homestead at the Air Force Base there. But we got sent to McCoy 1 week. So we spent a week.
Wow.
Very few airplanes were there, and I think it was just getting to the point that it was going to be shut down. But I remember what you said was McCoy Air Force Base.
Yeah, I can remember B-52s sitting right beside the runways over there, and it was awesome to see these military aircraft, active aircraft, that were right there on display for our passengers as we taxied. And never did. I don't recall ever seeing any of them taking off. I don't know whether they had.
They actually had planes mounted on big pedestals around the air base there.
Yeah. You know, my one other experience I've got is I remember taking my daughter and my son. There are 3 years difference in ages when they were young. I think the park had just opened, but yeah, I had the pleasure of taking my grandchildren, my two boys. My granddaughter hadn't been born yet. My daughter's two boys to Disney when they were about 9 years old and 6 years old. And my daughter and her husband stayed in one room, and we stayed. I stayed with the two young boys in my room. And I'll never forget, they were so excited when we checked into the hotel. They were so excited because the next day they knew they were going to see Mickey. And they were just, I mean, wound up, you know. And so I finally said, we've got to go to bed. We've got to go to bed because we want to wake up and go see Mickey Mouse and Minnie. And so I said, I tell you what, just close your eyes and start counting sheep. So I turned the television off and I turned the lights off, and oh, about 3 minutes went by or so. And my youngest grandson, I think he was about six, he said, Granddad, this is not working.
Not working.
He had counted about 3 minutes. And he had to tell me, and I tell him that every time I see him. He's about 25 years old now, and I tell him that story, and he laughs about it.
Yep.
But
probably if you waited in 5 minutes, the granddad would be asleep before the child.
I'm sure all of us have been to Disney World or Disneyland, and we have so many experiences that we could share. We could probably do a whole show on the experiences that we had with Disney. But I tell you what, all the employees with Eastern Airlines, we were very excited and we were very proud that even though we had to pay for it, but we were officially chosen as the official airlines of Walt Disney World. And for 15 years, we did Disney proud.
Yeah.
And we built up that city of Orlando from 12,000 people to, I don't know what it was when Eastern left finally, but I'm sure over 200,000. They're about 300,000 population now. So we feel like that, you know, as I was driving through Orlando here from Lakeland, Florida, we went to Sun and Fun, and I just kept thinking about the fact that we ought to do a show about Orlando, because it's a big city now. It may one day be one of the biggest cities in the state of Florida. And I think it's simply because of Walt Disney's world success there. But we should feel proud that we're part of that success, Eastern Airlines.
That's right.
Hey, you guys, maybe Chuck will remember this, but about 2 weeks prior to the opening of Disney World, Eastern reconfigured an L-1011 to all first-class seats with a big lounge and bar area in the aft part of the aircraft. And we flew travel agents up there. We flew the travel agents up there. We didn't land. They just made a couple of passes over the property and announced different things about it. Focused on the sphere that was out front, and then back. I was fortunate enough to fly on two of those flights with travel agents and some of the brokers and things like that. It was fun. It was quite a thing.
Well, it's amazing that a company would do something like that because of the expense, number one, but not all travel agents get to see where they talk about or where they're trying to sell. So that was really kind of unique on Eastern Airlines' part too.
Yeah, that's right.
Neil, maybe you can answer that. How much fuel does a 1011 burn per hour?
Oh, golly. Look, I don't take check rides from the FAA or the company anymore, so I'm not going to answer that question. So I don't want to prove my lack of knowledge of the airplane. So you put me on the spot there, Chuck.
I'm sorry. I don't know it either.
That's probably like asking you how many rivets in the wing of an L-1011.
A lot.
I know those answers, but I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. Yeah, sure you do. Yeah, sure you do. We've got several areas.
See the inside of this airplane. It was a thing of beauty inside this airplane.
Oh yeah.
The way they did it, it was beautiful.
Yeah. Well, we've got a lot of area codes. I want to see if any of our area codes want to say anything, contribute to your thoughts about Disney. We're talking about that tonight. We've got area code 519-352, of course. That's the Villages, probably, right there close to you, Chuck. 305, Miami area. 516. And 519. So we do have our board is full. And let's see, any comments from our listeners? We'd be happy to hear from you.
Well, I'm sorry to be a listener. I wish I was a precipitator. A participator, that's better.
who do we have trying to talk?
Ed Slam.
Ed, how are you?
Ed.
Well, I'm good, honey.
Now, did you finally go out and buy our computer?
What was that? Say it again, please.
Is this Captain Ed from Fort Lauderdale?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So nice
to
hear
you. Oh, how you doing, Ed?
Everybody says hello.
I've been quietly listening into the program and enjoying everything I've heard about Disney World and Eastern and so on and so forth. It was very good tonight.
Ed, do you have a favorite story about Disney?
I can't say that I do, really. I've only gone a couple of times, and I took my young son once. And I don't really have a nice, interesting tale to tell you about it.
Well, what was do you remember the airplane you were flying when you first went to Orlando? And you remember runway 1836? I believe that was the runway alignment. And
I was flying
landing.
The Convair.
Oh, you were flying. Yeah. I was too. I was flying the Convair back then too.
Out of Atlanta, right?
Yeah, out of Atlanta. Yeah, well,
yeah,
before Disney opened. Yeah.
I can tell you a couple of things about the SAC base that was there, the B-52s. I was flying the Electra sometime later, and we were sitting more or less on the tarmac outside there, and I was walking around, and it was a B-52 scramble while we were on the ground.
Wow.
And that was something to watch. It was just a practice thing. But we didn't know it was a practice thing. And all of a sudden, it sounded like every engine in the world was cranked up. And there they line up, and they scrambled. And in 2 minutes, they were all gone. And,
yeah.
And we thought it was going to be the end of the world.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Really?
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ed. I know Heston probably would know this, but back in the day before Disney, when we did go into Orlando with the Convairs and the Electras and all the other aircraft that we did, they had parallel runways, one for the military and, of course, the other one for civilian.
1836 parallels, right.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, we had the, when we landed to the south, we had the one on the east side. And it would be 1-8 left, I guess. And but those were the fun days. Even the terminals back in those days were fun.
Boy.
They were fun. They weren't these cold jetways that you just had no feeling. I don't know. Linda, You were back there. You flew in those days. Do you recall going into Orlando, Linda Fuller?
Well, Anston, he's on the edge of his chair because he wanted to tell you about our daughter going through. Yeah, it's a small world. Can he do that?
Sure. Hand him the microphone. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, hey, Neil.
Hey, Anston, good to have you with us.
Yeah. I stand corrected maybe on this, but before it was called McCoy, I believe it was called Pinecastle.
Wow.
And later on, they renamed it McCoy after General McCoy, who was lost his life in an accident. And I could be wrong about that, but I read the story someplace. And I remember the first visit there. We had our daughter, Lisba. She was 3 years old at the time. And we had a son in a basket. Yeah, he was 3 or 4 months. Anyway, I can remember taking the ride. It was on a boat, and you went in a huge building, and music was playing. It's a wide, wide world. And all of these dolls from all different countries was displayed there. And I can still see my daughter, Lisba, lighting up. I can still see her face from seeing all that. It was really something. I still remember that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's my little story about Orlando. And I got another story about you sometime when we got time, Neil.
Uh-oh.
Maybe you can't tell that on the air.
If it's not really so bad,
Anston, go ahead and share it with us. I might recall it.
You
end up breaking up a little bit.
There he is.
Oh, yeah. Are we still there? I heard a little static.
Yeah, you're still here. Go ahead and share your story. I'll deny it, of course.
I'm still here, and I'm waiting to hear it.
Just to let you know, you were right about Pinecastle.
Okay, I'll be right there. Sorry.
Okay. Who is that, Carlin?
That was Connie. I'm sorry, Neil. I've been listening, but my husband just asked me a question, so.
Well, you don't want to answer your husband. What the heck?
Got to answer him, right?
Oh, no, you don't have to answer him. Who's this?
Dorothy. Yeah.
So good to have you with us tonight, Connie, because you're going to be talking a lot next week.
I know, but you're breaking up a lot on me.
Yeah, he is on us too.
I don't know what's wrong here. We have some new folks, and anytime you use speaker phones and things like that, it really interferes. And we have a breakup of communication, so it's just best to use a telephone or your smartphone or whatever you call those things.
Well, I'm using my smartphone right now.
Well, you're coming in loud and clear, Connie. So
if you can use a smartphone
next week, we'll be happy.
All right. Well, I'm very much looking forward to it, and I've enjoyed tonight. You know, I brought a lot of memories back for me. Not from flying days, but when I was in the sales office in D.C. and we did promotions for Disney.
Well,
I think it's the first time my little one, who's now 42, shorter than Mickey at the time, and thought it was the most wonderful thing Mom could ever do for him.
Aww.
Connie. Do you remember, Connie,
yes.
Do you remember when they were so small that when you went up to a ride at Disney and if you didn't fit, if you fit underneath that bar, you didn't go?
Oh, that's exactly right. But I have to tell you, it is still that way. I just took that young man and his 10-year-old child to Harry Potter at Disney.
Oh.
And it's the same thing. They still have that little bar. That you, if you're not that tall, you can't go on.
Oh.
So I told him, you can go, but your son cannot. So, take a choice.
Yeah. Well, Disney was a lot of fun. We really enjoyed
it. It really was. It really was.
And they had Easter trams from the parking lot to the park, to the theme park gate. And they had the little helmets that ground personnel wore, and the I believe it was the same ramp service uniform when they drove those trams back and forth from the parking lot. And, of course, living in Atlanta back in the day when Eastern represented the Six Flags over Georgia. And we did that for quite a while. I forgot how many years, and then, of course, Delta took over after that. But Eastern did a good job, whatever they did, whether it was Disney.
I still get people, you know, I just flew last week on Delta and ended up going into the Sky Club and in the elevator, which was going down with the flight attendant to ops. And I said, oh, I hadn't seen one in a while. And we started talking, and, you know, she said, we really hated to see Eastern go. I mean, even, you know, for them. And this was in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I did too. And so I ended up actually on her flight, and she came up to me. She said, would you still want to be doing this? I said, not in your life. No way. It is no way. I said, I was lucky. I got to fly when it was glamorous. It was exciting. It was a family. Like, just like you guys said, it was a family, and we were proud of it.
Can
you imagine anybody doing to any Eastern passenger what just happened on United? I can't even fathom that even in our realm.
No, I
for
can't
any
either.
Reason.
And what we're seeing today of people being dragged off an airplane, and of course we could make a show about that, but that's almost old news now. But I'll never forget we had a delay in Chicago, and a long delay. And, you know, the flight attendants on the 1011 flight, the flight attendants actually took up a little collection among the flight attendants and asked if we had time to order pizza, Domino pizza, I think it was, to deliver to the airplane, and they shared that with the passengers. These are the kind of employees that's why we love Eastern so much.
We would have figured it out differently. It's not that we never threw anybody off an airplane, because we did. You know, if they were too intoxicated or behaved badly, however that might be. But it was done differently. It was done with class.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah.
Done with class. I am going to have to sign off. I have someone that is waiting for me. But I've been delighted. I can't wait till next week. I'm going to send out a notice. I hope we have lots of people calling in and talking about Silver Liners and how much fun we're having. And thank you, Neil, for letting us do this. Thank you, Dorothy, for getting the information out. Is Steve on there? Is Steve Thompson on?
No, he hasn't been on for a while. I don't know whether it's his health or just exactly what I've got to call
He's. I did recognize his name as having flown with him at one point.
Yeah. I don't know whether you and I.
But anyway, pardon?
I said I don't know whether you and I flew a trip together. We may have. But I'm sure you flew with Eston Fuller. Everybody flew with us.
I'm sure a lot of people fly right now.
Thinking about it, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of people flew with my late husband too. So. Captain Bob Brophy is not easily forgotten.
Oh, I remember him well.
And
we could do a
we
show.
We still tell stories.
But
everybody has a Brophy story.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to start looking.
Anyway, I will, Neil, I'll talk to you during the week. Hope everybody has a lovely week. And thank you so much for all the information about Disney and for letting me kind of monopolize the last 5 minutes or so.
No, you did not. And we look forward to our show next week. Okay.
All right. Take care.
Neil, before we go, I would like to make a few announcements. We would like to thank our sponsor, the REPA, Retired Eastern Pilots Association, for the generous... Hello?
Go right ahead.
We really appreciate the contribution that they have made to support the Eastern Radio Show. Thank everyone there and look forward to them listening and being part of our show. We also would like to mention that next week, April 24th, we have the Silver Liners as our featured guest. We have a lineup that is absolutely wonderful. We have the international current president, Connie Lee Kerrigan, along with some former presidents, Carol Harlan, who happens to be one of the Silver Liners founders and member of the MCO chapter. We have Jeannie Fitzgerald Smith, Bev Bridges Bennett, the first elected president. We have the past international presidents, Claudia Tangi Van Veen and Lois Churchill Morton. So please join us next week. It's going to be a wonderful program, and we appreciate the Silver Liners sharing their history with us. I also would like to mention that one of the requests that we've had from the author and Captain Colleen Pettit, she's an international airline pilot and an author and a speaker, and she is requesting assistance in locating commercial pilots to participate in her survey to research and gather survey data from commercial pilots. So anyone that is interested in helping Colleen do some research, she wants to do this research because every time there is an accident or an incident, the industry blames the pilot. There's more details on our website, so please go to the website, look under the newsletter 2017, and read the article that's in there. But she also has a hyperlink that you can send to Colleen and request that you be on that survey with her. Back to you, Neil.
Okay, and a quick note about the website. Folks, if you haven't been there, you need to go. It's just a brilliant work about Eastern Airlines. So much history there. And be patient with it, I might add, because I go there and I want to see the pictures just flash right up as soon as I turn the website on to that URL address, eal.radioshow.com. But it takes a while. We've got so many pictures loaded there for you to watch and look at, and videos and all sorts of graphics that it does take, especially on slow computers, just a little bit longer. So be patient, wait, and you'll see some brilliant work there that Dorothy has done in putting this website together. It's just absolutely a great website if you're an Eastern Airlines family member or a friend. So go there and enjoy the website because it's just really worth your time. Get some great information. So that's all I've got to say. And until next week, but let's see. I'm going to see if I can find a song to take us out of here, which usually is our goodnight song. And well, folks, that's all the time we have for tonight. And Captain Chuck, how about putting Eastern 314 Heavy gently back on the runway?
Orlando Tower, this is Eastern 314 Heavy. We're about 15 miles out, lined up straight in for runway 18 right, if that's okay. I've got the runway in sight.
Eastern 314 Heavy, this is Orlando Tower. You're clear to land on runway 18 right. The winds are light and variable, from 060 degrees to 080 at 10 miles per hour. and the present temperature at the airport is 82 degrees, and a special welcome, Eastern, to Orlando and Disney World. We understand that you are the official airline of Disney World, and we're happy to see you here.
Roger. Thanks, Orlando. Eastern 314 Heavy is clear to land on runway 18 right. From all the people of Eastern Airlines, we're happy to be here, and we'll hope to be proud to represent you to Mickey and the gang.
AM and the temperature is 82 degrees. For your safety and comfort, please remain seated with your seatbelt fastened until the captain turns off the fastened seatbelt sign. This will indicate that we have parked at the gate and that it is safe for you to move about. Please check around your seat for any personal belongings you may have brought on board with you, and please use caution when opening the overhead bins as heavy articles may have shifted around during the flight. If you require deplaning assistance, please remain in your seat until all other passengers have deplaned. One of our crew members will then be pleased to assist you. Once inside the terminal, one of our customer service representatives will assist you. You will recognize them by their beautiful red coats. On behalf of Eastern Airlines and the entire crew, I'd like to thank you for joining us on this trip, and we are looking forward to seeing you on board again in the near future. Have a wonderful stay here in Orlando in the Magic Kingdom. Remember to visit the Eastern Airlines attraction in the park called If You Have Wings. It's in Tomorrowland, and you'll enjoy the exciting ride to the various destinations Eastern serves. We hope to see you again.
Great landing, Captain. Great show of Eastern, and it's rolling. The making of one of the world's greatest theme parks, Disney World. Mr. Producer, another outstanding job at the board, I'm telling myself as I reach my arm around to pat myself on the back. You know, it's always fun when we talk about Eastern Airlines or the new Eastern Airlines and the place we worked and the stories we share. We feel we've truly earned the title of the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. And it's all because of you, our callers, listeners, guests, hosts, and sponsors. The sponsor, REPA, R-E-P-A, stands for the Retired Eastern Pilots Association. And thanks, REPA, for your generosity in keeping us on the air for another year. We look forward to our Eastern family and friends joining us again April 24th, 2017, as we file our flight plan to be with the Silver Liners. This is going to be a great show, so please make plans to be with us and the Silver Liners. And until then, we all say good night, Eastern.
Good night, Eastern.
We love you.
Good night, Eastern.
Good night, Eastern.
Good night, Eastern. We love you, Eastern.